All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Reported by Srila Prabhupada. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process following the regulated principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons or neophytes in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. To retire from the activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof, making a show of Krishna consciousness, is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god, Vivishwan, as mentioned herein before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities as well as those of persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god, who learned this art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of duties allotted by Krishna. Om Jnanatimadanda Shaganandjana Shalakaya Chakshurud Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So, Krishna consciousness is not something new. Even 5,000 years ago, Krishna is talking about the ancients, the liberated souls in ancient times. We would consider 5,000 years ago to be ancient history. But even when 5,000 years ago was present history, Krishna is referring to ancients. As Prabhupada points out, the sun god, he was practicing, he was a Krishna conscious devotee. So they cannot say that Hare Krishna is some cult. And this has been practiced for millions of years. The sun god was Hare Krishna. Remember. So this is very ancient science. So why should Arjuna do this? There are two classes described here by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are dirty in the heart and those who are clean. Actually, Arjuna is clean. He's very clean. But he's playing the role of someone who is dirty. To show an example for who? Us, because we are very, very dirty. We are so caught up in material attachments. So, this example is there of Arjuna, seemingly dirty in the heart, caught up in bodily consciousness. So that we will have the opportunity to hear this message, how to get free from our embarrassing situation. Actually, it is embarrassment. We are eternal spiritual beings, qualitatively one with God. We're eternal, we're full of knowledge. See, not this body. But what are we doing now? We are foolishly thinking. I am this body. I am male. I am female. I am young. I am middle-aged. I am old. See, we're foolishly misidentifying with that which is temporary, full of ignorance, full of misery. The Satchitananda is identifying with Asat, Achit, Nirananda. It's pathetic. It's an absolutely pathetic situation. But Krishna is very, very kind. Krishna is very, very merciful. Sometimes people foolishly think that Krishna is cruel because he comes to annihilate the miscreants. They criticize Krishna. Oh, he's a killer. He's not very tolerant and forgiving. Sometimes they criticize like that. But that's not at all true. Krishna, especially, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just see how tolerant he is. And even in his form of Krishna, when he's annihilating the rascals, he's liberating them. He's actually, in spite of all their offenses, he's liberating them. Putana became in the parental vessel in the spiritual world. What did she do to qualify herself? She tried to kill Krishna by poisoning her breast, smearing poison on her breast. So Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very merciful. Why not? Why Krishna won't be kind and merciful? He's our father. Even the son goes away from the father. Does not the father always have affection for the son? Even the son becomes a complete rascal. Doesn't the father always have affection for the son? Don't sleep, wake up. You look like you're sleeping, you're all slouched back. Okay. So, Krishna is very, very kind. We cannot understand how kind is Krishna. If you somehow got in trouble with the law and had to go to prison, do you have any friend who would come with you to keep you company? Let's say you got 20 years in prison. Would some friend come and sit in your cell with you for 20 years to keep you company? Anybody have a friend that's close? A buddy that's that close? It's been 20 years, I'll come and sit in the prison with you for 20 years, keep you company so you don't get lonely. Do any of us have a friend that dear? Do any of us have a spouse that is that devoted to us? But Krishna, he does that. He sits in the heart of the living entity through millions of lifetimes as a super soul. He is accompanying the living entity. Bless that living entity with his company. Just waiting for that moment when he will again wake up and come back. So we cannot even fathom the unlimited kindness of Krishna. And even his killing the miscreants is another form of kindness. Since they won't surrender, he annihilates them, and that way he delivers them. So we should never think that Krishna is not kind. He is the most merciful, the most kind. Indeed, love exists because of Krishna's kindness. That's why love exists. Love doesn't manifest out of the blue. It doesn't just pop out of the void. That wonderful thing that everyone sings songs about, love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. That love is coming from Krishna because of Krishna's kindness. To what? The void? No, to us. Because Krishna feels kindness in his heart for us. That's why love exists. That's the origin of love. Aham savasya prabhava mataksa vam pravartate. Everything is coming from Krishna. So Krishna must be merciful. He cannot be cruel. Cruelty we inflict upon ourselves, actually. Cruelty is our doing. We are being cruel to ourselves and to others when we do not take advantage of that mercy of Krishna. That is cruelty. It is not that Krishna is ever cruel. That is not possible. Krishna cannot be cruel. His nature is pure love. He is bestowing pure love upon us at every minute. Even it may seem, people think like that, why God is so cruel? I didn't deserve this. But a Krishna conscious person, he sees everything as the mercy of Krishna, because everything actually is the mercy of Krishna. Everything. Krishna is acting through his various energies for one purpose and one purpose only of the souls who are lost in karma chakra, and that is to bring them back to his eternal abode. He misses us. We're his dear children. He misses us immensely and he wants us back. He's trying to, but he doesn't want to bring us back as prisoners. That would be no use. If some child runs away from home and the police come and they put him in handcuffs and they build a jail cell in the bedroom, put bars on the windows, say, okay, you have to stay, we're going to bring you home. You know, we're going to put bars on the windows and a big, you know, metal door that's locked from the outside. And you get your meals, you know, pushed under the door in your own house. You see, what's the use? That's, you know, but that's of no use. The child has to, the parent wants the child to voluntarily come home because the parents love him and he wants to reciprocate the love of the parents. That's how the parents want the child to come back. So Krishna has the power. He can immediately, you know, just lasso us with his energies, and he could just grab us and pull us all back to Goloka Vrindavan immediately. But we'd be prisoners there, you know, handcuffed, ball and chain on the foot. We'd just be prisoners. We couldn't enter into the pastimes of Krishna with love and with freedom because our heart is not there. So Krishna is making all arrangements within this material world at every second, trying to get us back, trying to get us back, trying to get us back. Trying to get us to wake up from this delusory condition we're in right now of thinking, I'm God. I'm the Supreme. Everything is for my pleasure. The universe revolves around me. They just don't recognize how great I am. So Krishna is making all arrangements to get us out of our delusion. Delusions of grandeur that torment our minds, actually. We're all suffering from delusions of grandeur. Actually, that's why we're here. So by the mercy of the pure devotee, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, and the wonderful devotees of the who are following Srila Prabhupada very nicely, we get this opportunity to become reinstated in our eternal constitutional position, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. We have the golden opportunity to be reestablished in being who we actually are. Krishna consciousness really means, simply put, be who you are. That's all we're saying. Why are you trying to, my dear Mr. Conditioned Soul or Mrs. Conditioned Soul, why are you trying to be what you are not? You can never be happy doing that. You can never be happy trying to be what you are not. All we're saying is, just be yourself. Don't be something else. That's all. That old song, all I have to do is act naturally. That's true. The real nature of the living entity is service to Krishna. We've identified with the material, misidentified with the material nature. We think natural means become an animal, prowling the streets. You see, we think that's natural. Become a dog wandering the streets looking for a she-dog or a he-dog. They think that's natural in the modern day society. Let me just be natural. But that is not the actual nature of the living being. That is a covering. That is the covering of the living being. The original nature of the living entity is to love God. Because the living entity is nothing but the energy of God, therefore naturally he will love God. So all the living entity has to do is be put in that situation to revive his original enlightened consciousness. He has to somehow there be in the conducive atmosphere to revive that original consciousness, and that is called spiritual atmosphere. A place where there are persons who are chanting the names of God. A place where the person where a person serving the deity form of the Lord. A place where a person are distributing the knowledge of God to the general public. A place where persons are honoring the prashad, the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the Lord. A place where persons are rising early in the morning and engaging their early morning hours in deep meditation on the form of the Lord, the glories of the Lord, the names of the Lord, and the teachings of the Lord. See, this is what we need. This is the sort of atmosphere we need. So the spiritual master, he arranges this sort of atmosphere for his followers, for his disciples, for his students. So they can easily, just like a duck takes to the water, but there has to be water for him to take to. The old saying, the take to it like a duck takes to the water. Well, there has to be water for him to take to it, like, otherwise he can't take to it. If the water is there, the duck can easily be a duck, be a natural duck, if the water is available. So any living being, if he's given the proper facility, he can naturally be a devotee. Every single person on this planet can naturally be a devotee if from the beginning of life they are given the proper atmosphere, from the moment they're born, even within the mother's womb. If that proper atmosphere of water is given, then the natural duck will be there. But we have an atmosphere on this planet which is so polluted, so distorted, so complete opposite of the natural position, that we think being natural means to eat as much as possible, to sleep as much as possible, to mate as much as possible, and if anybody wants to mess with my eating, sleeping, and mating, I'll kill them. You see? We think that's being natural. So we require good guidance from Krishna. We require good guidance from persons who have realized Krishna very nicely. This we need. We need this kind of guidance to pull us out of the psychotic condition in which we are presently deeply, deeply, deeply sunk. This is described in the Chaitanya-charitamrita. Sadhu-sangha, sarva-shastrikai. Sadhu Sangha Lava Matra Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That all the scriptures declare that even one moment's association with the saintly devotee of the Lord can bestow all perfection. Sarva Siddhi, all perfections. Just from Lava Matra, 1/11th of a second. Not even 1 second, 1/11th of a second. Lava Matra. That is how powerful the association of a person who has realized Krishna. So, for the sake of others, we should all also try to realize Krishna. To the degree that we ourselves personally have realized Krishna, to that extent we can bless others with Krishna consciousness. Not beyond them. So we, each and every one of us, should take it as our personal responsibility to realize Krishna to the fullest extent. Personally realize Krishna. Each one of us should strive to become self-realized souls. Not just workers in an organization. Of course, we are meant to do that. We are meant to work for Prabhupada. But at the same time, individually, each one of us should strive to become self-realized souls. Because that's how we can render the best service to Prabhupada's mission. We just remain workers in an organization. And we don't have our own realizations of Krishna. We may not last very long. In this movement. So many have come and gone. Why? Because they didn't realize Krishna. That's why. So we have to realize Krishna. We have to realize Krishna. Just as Arjuna realized Krishna, we, each and every one of us, we are also meant to realize Krishna. That will make us strong, very strong. Very strong. So, are there any questions? One minute, let me get this hearing aid in. You're sitting very far away and my ears aren't very strong. Yes.
So, what if we're in that, you know, natural environment that you're talking about, the devotional environment, but we feel ourselves lacking in that love?
And lacking in?
In love.
In love?
We don't feel we have love for Krishna.
Yeah. Need our own what?
Impurities.
We see our own impurities.
Start seeing them. Like you're feeding your own impurities?
It's like we see them.
Oh, you see?
And more. We see more of our own impurities.
Ah.
So therefore, we feel, as we go on, we feel, I have no love.
Ah.
And maybe that may be a little discouraging.
Okay. Actually, the more you see your impurities, the more you're making advancement. The more we, the more our Krishna consciousness is growing, the more we feel that we do not have Krishna consciousness. And of course, on one side, there is such a thing as not being properly fixed, and, you know, being in a lot of anxiety, and being in, you know, not properly engaged. That's there. But on the other hand, the more we can feel that I'm lacking in Krishna consciousness, that is our advancement. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, actually, I have no love for Krishna. The proof is that I am living now in his separation. If I had actually love for Krishna, I would die immediately in his separation. And the fact that I'm still maintaining body and soul together, it proves I don't love Krishna. So if you actually are becoming more and more aware of what a rascal you are, you see, that is very good. Uttama Adhikari actually is in that mood. The Karmi cannot understand how Uttama Adhikari devotee can think that everyone is a devotee except for him. They say, oh, that's illogical. But that is the actual realization. The more you become advanced, the more you feel that I'm a scoundrel. Of course, that doesn't mean you act like a scoundrel. But if you are strictly following this process, you're chanting the prescribed rounds, you're rising early for Mangal Arti every day, you're attending, you're doing preaching work, you're sincerely working cooperatively with Prabhupada's followers, you see. and you're feeling, I'm just seeing, I'm seeing more and more of my faults. And that is very good. You're making very nice progress. Of course, on the other hand, if you're becoming discouraged, you're not able to engage nicely in service, etc., then you need to approach devotees who are more fixed than you are and take their help and guidance. If you see that you're not engaged in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, then you have to take help. But for one who's actually engaged nicely, always doing service, following the principles, reading, chanting, hearing, always doing everything properly, and they're feeling, oh, I'm just seeing more and more of what a rascal I am, and that's very good. Prabhupada felt he could fall down at any minute. And he told us in Boston, he said, I'm just praying to Krishna that I won't fall down. That was his humility. Of course, Prabhupada could never fall down. He's absolutely pure on the highest level and the greatest enlightened teacher in the history of the universe is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. But in that, his greatness is his perfect humility also. That's part of his greatness. He's thinking, I have to... He's feeling himself very humble. Krishna had to protect me. I have no strength on my own. Krishna, please protect me from falling down. That's the mood of an advanced devotee, that I'm incompetent. When they first gave Prabhupada the Vyasa-san to sit in Los Angeles, he started crying. He said, I am not fit to sit on this asan, Vyasa-san. But I'm doing so on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. So this is the more, and Rupa Goswami, he said, I am trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, although I am completely unfit to do that actually. So the more you feel yourself spiritually unfit, that is very good. Very, very good thing. That is your advancement in Krishna consciousness. Questions more? You're just scratching. Okay. Your finger went up slightly. Oh, she's asking questions. So everyone knows all the answers now. There's no more questions. Everyone has perfectly understood bhakti yoga, Krishna bhakti. All your questions have been answered. You have no more questions whatsoever. I guess I'll fly out tomorrow morning. Okay. Yes.
What is the best, like with Arjuna, he had Krishna present. So he had.
Speak up a little louder.
With Arjuna, he had Krishna present. With
yes.
Him, so he was able to get direct association with mm-hmm. the Supreme Personality mm-hmm. of God. So how do we stay self-realized in the absence of, you know what I mean?
He had the advantage of Krishna's personal presence, and so we do not, therefore how can we possibly, but actually we do. That's our lack of realization. We don't realize that we actually have Krishna just as much as Arjuna had Krishna. Prabhupada told us just by reading the Bhagavad Gita, there's the same exact potency as Krishna standing on the chariot. So why are we not becoming fully enlightened in 45 minutes? You see? Because it's the quality of our hearing. That's the problem. We're tuning into the broadcast, but it's... You ever drive across America in the middle of the night, in the middle of the desert, trying to pick up some radio broadcast, and the static is so bad, you're just trying to find something you can hear on the dial. When we were kids. Of course, I don't do that now, but when I was... a little child, before I joined the movement, we'd on vacation, and we'd be driving across the desert somewhere trying to pick up some radio station. It was all static. No ecstatic, simply static everywhere. So right now, we're just getting so much static, we're not tuned in to Krishna. We have the same facility that Arjuna did if we can, we just have to get tuned in. That's why we have our assignment, 16 rounds every day. It's a tuning process. You're tuning, fine-tuning the consciousness by chanting every day 16 rounds minimum. It's a fine-tuning of the consciousness. When you bow down and offer your obeisances, it should not be mechanical. You're trying, should be an opportunity to fine-tune your consciousness, to refine your consciousness. Every single activity that we do throughout the entire day, we should do it in such a way to tangibly connect with Krishna finally after millions of lifetimes. We're not realizing Krishna now because we haven't quite made the connection yet. Still, we have not. I see. Something missing. Still something missing. There's three stages of chanting. There's the offensive stage, the Namabhas stage, the clearing stage, and the Shuddhanam, the offenseless stage. So we're chanting Hare Krishna, but the offenses are still there. Therefore, we are not realizing Krishna. So we simply have to be very, very vigilant. Which offenses am I committing? And if we do not see which offenses we are committing, we should ask a godbrother. Or ask, if someone is married, they can ask their spouse. Because the spouse sees the other spouse a lot. What am I doing wrong? Or ask your temple authority, ask a senior devotee. Reveal your, find association. Develop relationships with devotees who can help you to see what you're doing wrong. Why you're not realizing Krishna.
Huh? Krishna was present before them too.
Who?
Krishna was present before them.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Prabhupada wrote me one letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that potential is there. That just as Arjuna was fully realizing Krishna on the chariot, you can have that same potent darshan of Krishna right now, 2005, in Denver, Colorado. You can have that same potent realization of Krishna as Arjuna had. It's a fact, as Vishnupriya Mataji is pointing out. There were so many there also who saw Krishna even, Duryodhana, etc. They didn't realize it and surrender to him. They were inimical. So the physical presence of Krishna is not the end all and the be all. The real thing is, how do you feel about Krishna within your heart? Do you doubt his existence? Do you doubt his supremacy? Do you doubt his pastimes? Do you doubt that he and his name are the same? Yes, we do. Prabhupada told us we doubt. He said, Krishna, and you're thinking Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, maybe. Prabhupada knew what rascal minds we have. And we were even after joining the movement and getting initiated, we were still wondering if Krishna really lifted Govardhan Hill. I mean, at a certain level of heart, the skepticism is still there. He knew it. So at a certain level, we still have that skepticism sitting there in the heart. That Krishna, is Krishna really fully present in the name? I mean, in a lecture we'll say, oh yes, because we know the philosophy. We'll all say, oh of course, Krishna is the name of the same. But there's at a certain level, if we look really deeply in our heart, well, there's a skepticism still there. We have to get rid of a demon of doubt. It's still there within us. And that's why we're not able to see Krishna face to face at every second. We're not able to perceive Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna wherever we go, whether we're in the temple, in the street, anywhere, everywhere. Everything, every atom, every molecule of this universe is emanating from Krishna's body at this very second. And he is fully present in each and every one of those atoms, in between every one of those atoms. If we cannot see, we're just seeing dull matter because our brains are dull. We are still dullards, dull-headed people. So we have to sharpen our brain. That's why we have a morning program. That's why we study the scriptures. That's why we memorize verses. That's why we... so many things to sharpen the intelligence. So our understanding becomes very clear. And to purify that heart by practical engagement in devotional service. Especially important is having very good relationships with the devotees of Krishna. Because without that, we remain kanishta on the material platform. Even we're doing devotional service, even we're chanting, doing so many things, deity worship, preaching, book distribution, so many things, prasad distribution. If we don't have proper relationships with the devotees, then we're still materialistic devotees. We're still kanishta adhikari, material platform. What brings us to the second platform, majjham bhakta. Majjham adhikari, that is by developing proper relationships with the Vaishnavas, learning how to properly love and respect the devotees of Krishna. That brings us to the majjham platform, and from there then we can go to the uttama platform, complete pure love of Krishna. So we really have to be very careful that we, with each and every devotee, we develop good relationships with every single devotee in the movement. We have very good relationships. If we don't have an active relationship, at least within the heart, we develop good attitudes and feelings about all the devotees. Even we may see some fault in them, but at the same time, but they have this very good quality. You see. We may see a fault in another devotee, because we all have our faults, let's face it. We can think, but they have this very good quality which is far more important than their fault. We can worship that good quality they have. You see. So in this way we can have all, we can be cultivating good feelings about all the devotees. We can love them all for their wonderful saintly qualities. Even if we see some discrepancy, still we can say, well, it will go away soon. Because they have this other good quality which is far more wonderful. Certainly the bad quality will go away very soon. Questions more? Yes.
Getting on the aspect of the devotees, which you just said, but first, please accept my humble basis and go on to show the Lord. I can understand to the point where some devotees that, and I guess devotees would be good and bad devotees and so forth, I can understand that. There's some devotees that I may have problems with, but I still respect them as a Vaishnava. I still have love for them. But how is it when there's certain devotees you just feel are just so fake, they're for them? They're so fake. There's certain devotees that I feel that when I see them, male and female, that when I see them.
I see them as fake,
not even. It's like you watch the TV.
One thing you have to consider, if you have this tendency, you should be very introspective and think, maybe I'm the fake and I don't want to face up to my own fakeness, and I'm projecting my own fall onto them to hide from myself, which I cannot bear to see my own falsehood. You have to think about that. Am I projecting my own fault on them because I don't want to look at it myself, therefore I'm imagining they have it?
I feel I'm an open person. Everybody knows I have a temper. My faults, I'm usually open about them because I'm open, you know, being open about them, I can confront them better. So I'm usually open about myself. It's just some people I notice act holier than thou, but then I catch them doing certain things, or I know certain things about them. And usually, if I figure a person's act is supposed to be certain things, and then I find something out about them.
I can't quite hear everything, but I think I'm catching the gist of it. My hearing is a little bad, but any fault, see, we're all in the same boat. That's why we took birth here. Any fault you see in another devotee, you can be sure that you have it also. On some level or another. Any fault we can see in anyone, we have it on some level or another, we have that fault ourselves. Everyone, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Maybe you've controlled it better than they have. That's possible. The same fault is within you. So with the point is, we have to be very kind and compassionate in the mood of serving the devotees. We want to create an atmosphere where everybody is encouraged to move forward and conquer all their faults. So the best way to do that is you set the example yourself by being very vigilant to conquer your own fault. And that will inspire others to conquer their faults by your example. They go, wow, he's really trying to be pure. In a humble, not a humble, thinking himself pure, but he's really trying to take a mood of pure devotion. Considering himself very humble, always rendering nice service to others. See, in this way you should be an inspiration for the others. So, 8 o'clock, I don't want to keep people. What time usually ends at 8? Yeah. All right, well, anybody who wants to speak, they can speak with me personally after the class, but I really thank you all very much for coming. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.